quarter bed right here.
So thank you for coming with us, Karen. My name is Jason Melarth. I'm Delaware Dem, one Delaware Liberal, and I'm here with Pandora, also a Delaware Liberal.
Hi there. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. I just wanted to first get an idea of your background, your qualifications, and what you've been doing the last couple of years before you've run for insurance commissioner.
Well, I'm 60 years old, so I've been working for
a long time. And you don't look like 60.
I've been working a really long time. I had a whole career in retail for 22 years, and I owned my own business when I was in retail also. But I started out as a sales clerk in college and worked my way up to running a number of stores. Had a large staff, about 65 employees or so, and then had my own store here in Delaware, smaller store, but...
Okay.
So I have a lot of retail background, and then I started working at the Delaware Insurance Department in 1989 as a deputy receiver, where I ended up running 20 receiverships. What we call in the business, 7 domiciled and 13 ancillary receiverships.
Right.
And until I left the department, because I was a Democrat, Republicans came in, and I went to work as a consultant to the Texas Insurance Commissioner and then the Utah Insurance Commissioner. And then I went to work for Reinsurance Solutions International, which is a subsidiary of Marsh McLennan and Guy Carpenter. And I worked as a vice president over regulatory services. And I had clients like the New York Insurance Department,
right.
California Insurance Department, Oklahoma Insurance Department, number of insurance departments, Florida, Louisiana.
You've also, in some of your biographical materials I've seen, you've worked with a number of legislatures over the years in the Delaware General Assembly.
Yes, I have. I worked in the General Assembly 20 years ago. I worked there from 1987 to January of 1989, I joined the insurance department in January of 1989, and I worked on housing legislation for Senator McDowell. I did a lot of research, because I'd worked for Biden for president, and I got in touch with World Hunger Year, and they had out a lot of information on housing, and so I put together, not all of it was introduced, a lot of it, you know, was researched, and It was a good study. It really was. It really helped me to learn a lot about things that we could do for housing to make sure we have the houses we need for the communities that fit into the communities, and it taught me a lot about the importance of economic mixture.
Just working with, like, Senator McDowell and other legislatures, you weren't on their paid staff, were you? Were you just working with them to draft legislation?
No, I was on Senator McDowell's paid staff.
Oh, okay.
And then when I found out Matt Dunn was running for lieutenant governor, would not be running for re-election, I had started to put bids out for my company to take bids at different states, but then I quickly realized I had to cease doing that since I would be running for commissioner again. So I went back to work in the Senate for Senator McDowell, and there I drafted legislation, worked with getting sponsors for a number of bills.
One of those bills, I think, was Senate Bill 177, which provided for single-payer health care here in Delaware.
Yes, my initials are on that bill.
Right, yes. And so
you can see that. Yes. I also worked on the legislation, the General Assembly before that, the 143rd, a bill for filling for the Delaware Drug Assistance Program to fill in the gap left by Medicare Part D for those people who are disabled and
called that the donut hole, right?
It's the donut hole, and we filled it in for people in the drug assistance, the Delaware Prescription Assistance Program, with tobacco fund money. It wasn't taxpayers' money, and it passed the House in legislation and the House and the Senate unanimously, except Senator Vaughn was ill.
Right, right.
He didn't come any day to the Senate.
Right.
So that was a fun piece of legislation. I actually want to add a second tier to that. I want to add a tier two so that other people who are in a higher income could pay to be part of the Delaware Prescription Assistance Program.
Right.
I don't know what that would be called, just tier two, so that it would help seniors to pay into that that are poor.
Regarding, I know one of your interests is single-payer health care. Could you explain the difference between single-payer health care right now versus the setup we have with prior private insurance? Would the Bill 177, Senate Bill 177, would that supersede like private insurance that Delawareans currently have and also the employer-based programs some Delawareans have?
It would. It would be every citizen in Delaware would pay 2% into it.
Right.
It's self-funding. Mm-hmm. It's not funded by the government.
And that 2% would be on their total gross income. Is that right? Okay. Also,
Now, I don't know if it's ever going to pass.
Right.
So I have other suggestions to bring more of a universal health care into.
What are those suggestions?
One is to, actually I'd worked on in 1990 with Senator Herman Holloway and Bill Oberle and David Levinson is to, it got done for disabled people, but it needs to get done for the working poor, so to speak. It allows them to buy into, by paying a premium, into Medicaid in Delaware. Also expanding CHIPS now because of the federal directive of August the 17th of 2007.
Right.
We really can't expand it beyond 250 right now because it wouldn't get approved. And it'd be better to introduce something that will at least get approved that we can start working on rather than try to make it 300 or 400% of the federal poverty level where we just sit and not be approved. So expand that. And then I've been working on the Board of People's Settlement and on the Drug Addiction Coalition for Delaware. So I've been working a lot down in the east side of Wilmington with people. They cannot afford the premiums to be part of CHIPS, even though it's only $5 or $15. But I don't think the average person realizes when it comes to buying bread or paying the electric bill, it supersedes their desire to pay this premium, even though they want to for their children. And Senator Bill 200 eliminates that premium.
Okay.
I know it's the impact of it, the fiscal note is $500,000.
Okay. As you know,
more children would sign up. There's a lot of that are not signing up because they can't afford it.
Besides trying to pursue single payer and also the other ways of bringing about universal health care, right now, at the status of Delawareans insurance right now, nearly 80% of Delawareans that have insurance are basically through employer benefit programs, and that's governed by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA.
Yes. ERISA,
yes.
That's right.
I've always pronounced it differently.
Everybody does.
Yeah. But you've also said you wanted to increase the state's authority in dealing with health insurance. Besides talking about what you've just talked about and trying to pursue single payer and also pursue CHIPS and everything, how else would you go about doing that, increasing the state's authority in the insurance commissioner's office in dealing with health insurance?
A couple ways. Actually, one would be to I have to give Matt Den credit for putting in the bill to oversee or regulate the charges that are being charged for health insurance. The other thing is the arbitration piece. That was for health care, for health insurance, was removed to health and social services. Now, I don't know if it's come back to the department. I've heard that it might have come back, but it was taken away and put in health and social services. And the Secretary of Health and Social Services doesn't have the power or the teeth to complain to an insurance company where the insurance commissioner does. So also, when Donnelly Williams was insurance commissioner, she took some teeth out of the arbitration act or reg that we have in Delaware. It used to be when you went for arbitration, you could take, as a policyholder, take your attorney with you or even a third-party plaintiff, and that attorney was paid separately, not out of your PIP, what your salary is, what your injuries are.
But now
it doesn't.
Right.
And the way insurance companies do business normally, particularly when they buy what is called reinsurance, that there is a standard clause in the contract that outside attorney or adjusters or any of those outside fees are covered separately as loss adjustment expense. So insurance companies are used to paying that, used to that language, We should have that. Okay. And that would help put teeth back in the department, because even when I call, an insurance company can give me a little bit of a runaround, and that's not right.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because they can also appeal it. Like if I'm a policyholder and I get a satisfactory, in my favor, judgment by the from the arbitration,
right,
the insurance company can appeal it. Well, they shouldn't be allowed to appeal it. It
okay.
should be binding. The poor policyholder or third-party plaintiff should not have to go through this again.
Court, exactly. Mm-hmm. From arbitration forms, as a lawyer, I know.
And that puts some teeth in
right.
the department.
It'll make them more amiable to settle some of these claims earlier.
Yes. And the other thing I want to do, now that we're on this, you're talking about
go right ahead.
Stuff that's near and dear to me here. It is not right. I understand about having an independent medical exam,
mm-hmm.
but it's not right for insurance companies to make Delaware citizens go out of state to have an exam, and particularly when those exams are being done by doctors that are not members here in Delaware, that may be retired in Pennsylvania. It should be a member of the medical community in Delaware.
Totally understood, yes.
That makes sense.
Yes. Going on to a more philosophical question, as a commissioner, if you were to be elected, what do you view as your ultimate responsibility in the job? View it as being working for the consumer or trying to negotiate differences in policies with the insurance companies?
It's always the consumer.
It's always the consumer, okay. What would be your regulatory approach? Would you... Or how or when would you get involved in the marketplace as far as bringing back regulations that had been previously, as you said earlier, that Donnelly Williams took the teeth out of? Would you wait for something to happen, or would you just go in?
No, I have a list of things I want to change.
Name some of those.
One is the arbitration.
Right, right.
Thing. That's probably one of the key things I want to do, and then
mm-hmm.
put that bill back in.
Right.
And then the health issues I have, I want to get those bills put in. And then there's a few other things I need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will be doing is going in with a transition team. I mean, I'm used to taking over insurance companies that are financially impaired.
Right.
And I hire a team of experts to go in with me and listen to what they have to say and interview everybody and just see, make sure every fit is good. I'm not saying I'm going to be letting people go. I don't want people shivering in their feet. In their boots, but what you do is just make sure everything's flowing the right way. If there's a better way to do things, so
right.
there'll be a lot of things I'll be looking at.
You do have a history. You just mentioned this of insurer solvency. And what actions could you take in the insurance commissioner's office to better police, now that we've had the recent failures of AIG and some other concerns regarding insurance companies going insolvent? What actions could the commissioner office take that it's not taking now to better police insurance solvency?
Well, actually, when I founded the International Association of Insurance Receivers in 1991
mm-hmm.
and helped write a book on how to protect policyholders that's published by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners every
mm-hmm.
year and put on the workshops that we put on every year, actually, you'll find the solvency, and that's why the federal government loaned AIG the
$85 billion
yeah. dollars,
right.
was because the insurance entities, based on the facts that we had found, have made it a lot more solvent universe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this has been global,
right?
Because my organization is global, and so we're working with people in Hong Kong and the UK and Bermuda and all over the world.
Right.
And so you're finding that the solvency issue is much better than it was in the 1980s.
Really? Okay.
But there's, we're going to be having a press conference, and I don't think I want to, a couple things with AIG, so that will be in,
don't jump ahead.
In a couple
we'll,
days.
We'll attend the press conference okay. then and record that then. What would you say is your primary differences of what you would do in the insurance commissioner's office if you were elected from your opponents, Tom Savage and John Brady?
Well, I actually have a background
mm-hmm.
in insurance departments, so I've worked and visited a number of insurance departments, so My difference would be is my knowledge of the marketplace. I know most of the players out there, and I've set policy that's been, you know, and help write legislation that's been adopted across the country and even impact on the UK and Bermuda legislation. So, and I know a lot of the employees. I mean, some of them I hired.
Right, right.
So I go in and I work there. It's
no on the job training for you then?
No, it's okay. It's completely different ball game. I mean,
there's
comparison there.
There's other different types of insurance in Delaware besides, you know, health insurance. We've talked a lot about that so far. But what would you also do with respect to automobile insurance? I thought you had some ideas regarding lowering, working with the insurance companies to lower the high premiums for young and new drivers in Delaware.
Well, for drivers, yes, I do. A lot of people right now are very, you know, parents love their children. Absolutely love your children, and to have your child injured or killed in an automobile accident is probably the most devastating.
Absolutely.
I mean, here your child wants their independence, they want to drive, and it's hard.
Right.
And we've, I mean, historically, I mean, young people have accidents, but is it their age or their experience? And what I'd like to look at is having driver's ed in school starting at age 15 for the whole school year. Have it be mandatory that the children take defensive driving.
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory that they have so many logged on driving hours. And then at the age of 16, have an adult, you know, parent or approved guardian that the parent has approved in the car with the young driver, and again log on so many hours of experience of driving.
One other
as opposed to raising the age,
because
no matter what age you raise it to, you still have to get
the
experience.
Exactly.
So it's about the experience. So that's a solution I'm kicking around. I haven't totally fleshed it out, but I think it would allow the child to get their training in and the experience of driving.
Would insurance companies look favorably upon that and lower rates because of that, do you think?
I think they would.
Okay.
I think they would, because we would be able to show a lower rate of accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one way of doing that. And I think it's better for the child. I was a great driver. I took driver's ed at 15, and I was teaching other kids when I was 16 how to drive.
Well, I failed my first test because I couldn't parallel park. So my mother took me out to empty parking lots across the state, and then it had me practice for a month before I could be taken back. But that's I digress. One of the interesting things, not all across the country, if you look, not all insurance commissioners are elected. What is your opinion on whether the job of insurance commissioner should be an appointed one or an elected position?
Well, actually, the trend now is to have an elected commissioner.
Really?
Okay. California was the last state that made their commissioner elected. Texas recently floated some legislation to go to electing their commissioner. And Florida, who stopped theirs, they did legislation to have the commissioner appointed, now wants to change that.
Right.
Because they're finding out and studies through the National Association of Insurance Commissioners have shown, first off, stability in the office. Most appointed insurance commissioners only last 19 months in the office. Hardly enough time they don't have my kind of background where they worked in insurance departments before. They're just coming in as a gubernatorial appointee, so they don't really know anything about it, and then they're gone.
Right.
The other thing is they have found that states that have an elected insurance commissioner, they have lower health insurance rates and lower homeowners rates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly true here in Delaware, because the rate on our homeowners is really much lower than surrounding states. So we have benefited by having an elected insurance commissioner that way. They also find that then the commissioner, which I enjoy actually, is answerable to the people. Yes. And at the whims of the governor. And I like the fact that when I go around, when I start the campaign season, I might not really know what my issues are, because what I'm doing is listening to the people. And the people not only tell me what they feel strongly about, what their issues are, but they also tell you if the department's functioning well, because they'll be complaining.
Right.
And you're right there. They're captive audience. You know, I'm a captive audience.
Right.
And so I find they're very important that way. They have a real input into what the insurance commissioner does and what the officer does and their performance. So I appreciate the fact that it is elected.
Well, Karen, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be looking forward to talking to you again at your press conferences and everything like that. And best of luck in the election.
And thank you for your time and your interest.
Thank you for yours.
And for being involved. Thank you. I'm really impressed.
Thank you.
This has been a DelawareLiberal.net production. I'm Liberal Geek. Thanks for listening.